Valve have been in the news quite a bit, as I'm sure you're aware. So yeah, let's talk about the lawsuit that the New York State Attorney General, Letitia James, has brought against Valve. Now, just so you know, I did an episode of this on the Four Horsemen, where we brought on Harrison Peskins. You can go look him up. He is our legal mind. Like, he's an attorney at ESG Law. Great guy. Love to have him on. So you can go watch that episode. Definitely a solid episode. That'll give you almost everything you need to know in a pretty condensed form. This is going to be a bit more granular. So let's talk about the Attorney General of New York State, Letitia James. We'll talk about who she is in a moment, but she's brought a high-profile lawsuit against Valve. And the premise of the lawsuit is the state wants to sue Valve for the promotion of illegal gambling through video games. This has been one of those things I've covered extensively. A lot of people will know that I covered a lot of the fake casinos, skins casinos, that I exposed a lot of people that were cheating and all of this type of stuff, essentially abusing the illusion of these sites having a provably fair system, which means that, you know, oh, look, if you ever are suspicious of any form of the website acting against you, we can prove it mathematically in the back end that by looking at a string that shows it was completely randomized. What ended up happening was a lot of people were able to either manipulate those strings directly, or those strings never existed to begin with and it was a lie, or they could get access to the strings ahead of time and bet accordingly. And that was ultimately one of the big things that was going on with a lot of these skins casinos. I covered a ton of this at the time. And then, of course, Going back to 2016, 2018, there were a ton of lawsuits around this, most of which got settled or dismissed. One of the lawsuits, I think, is still going on. I don't know if this one ever got resolved, and I mentioned it on the Four Horsemen episode, but we didn't go into it in detail. But I covered this one. There's a video of it on my YouTube channel. Valve hit with a legal gambling lawsuit by Native American Nation that operates a casino in Washington State. This was reported back in 2019. It's the Quino Nation, and they own a beach resort and casino in Ocean Shores. For my non-American friends, in case you don't know, one of the ways that the American government made up for the genocide of the indigenous American people and violating several treaties that involved stealing their land away from them, we offered them reservations. And then as a means for their people to continue to have some form of business, some form of future that they were in charge of, their own destiny, essentially, they were allowed special exemptions from running casinos on their land, on native land. We let them essentially set their own rules. And so a lot of Native American tribes operate casinos. Casinos, of course, being very profitable and a reason for people to go and visit these lands and gamble, and therefore give the indigenous people some form of profit from those ventures. And so anyway, as a result of the agreement, which specifically says only you have access to gambling in this state, when Valve was operating in Washington, the Quino Nation argued that because it was gambling mechanics, skins gambling, it was in violation of their agreement. And see, here it goes on to say, Valve is well aware that skins gambling goes on. It's well aware that skins have real-world cash value, which has increased their popularity and value, and actively encourage and facilitate skins gambling. This one, I think, is going to be reviewed this year. So this is one of the few that survived from the golden era of all the skins gambling stuff, if you like. But anyway, back to the one that just got filed on at the end of February. Letitia James put out the following press release statement. And remember, this was after a period of time where they were cooperating with Valve, having talked behind the scenes about what skins gambling is and what case opening is and whether or not it constitutes gambling. Valve were very transparent and cooperative. So, New York Attorney General Letitia James today sued Valve Corporation, a video game developer, for illegally promoting gambling through video games popular with children and teenagers. An investigation by the Office of the Attorney General for the chance to win a rare virtual item of significant monetary value. In Valve's most popular game, the process resembles a slot machine with an animated spinning wheel that eventually rests on a selected item. The randomly selected virtual items have no in-game functionality, but can be sold online for money, with one item reportedly being sold for more than $1 million. The lawsuit alleges that Valve has made billions of dollars luring its users, many of whom are teenagers or younger, to engage in gambling in the hopes of winning expensive virtual items that they can cash in on. With this lawsuit, Attorney General James seeks to permanently stop Valve from continuing to promote illegal gambling in its games and to pay disgorgement and fines. Illegal gambling can be harmful and lead to serious addiction problems, especially for our young people, said Attorney General James. Valve has made billions of dollars by letting children and adults alike illegally gamble for the chance to win valuable virtual prizes. These features are addictive, harmful, and illegal, and my office is suing to stop Valve's illegal conduct and protect New Yorkers. Valve is a developer, publisher, and distributor of video games and the operator of a platform called Steam, which allows users to directly download its games, including Counter-Strike 2, Team Fortress, and Dota 2. The lawsuit alleges that Valve enables gambling through these games by charging users for the chance to win a rare virtual item by paying to open a virtual container known as a loot box. The virtual items awarded when a user opens a loot box are cosmetic, like a hat for a player's character, or artistic skins for a player's weapon. Like slot machines, the prizes won from loot boxes are determined randomly in accordance with odds set by the casino, which in this case is Valve. Valve intentionally makes some items far harder to win than others, making the rare items more valuable. Despite having no in-game functionality, these virtual items can be extremely valuable, with the rarest items selling for thousands of dollars online. The value of Counter-Strike skins rose significantly in recent years, attracting speculators and investors who viewed these virtual items as potentially lucrative digital assets. In March 2025, it was reported that the market for Counter-Strike skins had surpassed $4.3 billion. We'll skip ahead to the next thing. And go to what it says about children, because the lawsuit specifically focuses on kids. I guess that's the kind of like fail-safe baked into this case. What they're going to argue is that if it isn't gambling, it's still potentially damaging to children on some level, and maybe there's going to be a new age gating process put in place, but whatever, we'll get to that. Valve's loot box model can be especially harmful to children. Attorney General James asserts that young users with limited funds can be enticed to start gambling through loot boxes in the hopes of obtaining a virtual item they believe will enhance their status in the game's virtual worlds. Research has shown that children who are introduced to gambling are four times more likely to develop a gambling problem later in life than those who are not. In addition, although this case is about illegal gambling, it is important to note that Valve's promotion of games that glorify violence and guns help fuel the dangerous epidemic of gun violence, not true. Particularly among young gamers who can become numbed to grave violence before their brains are fully developed. In the lawsuit filed today, yeah, they snuck that in. I mean, she's a Democrat, so what are you going to do? In the lawsuit filed today, Attorney General James seeks to permanently stop Valve from promoting gambling features in its games, disgorge all its ill-gotten gains, and pay fines for violating New York's laws. Now, initial reaction is this has been tried quite a bit, and it's failed, and it's failed multiple times. There's been a number of statements made that say, ultimately, no, this doesn't meet the threshold to constitute gambling. You're not supposed to cash out the chips, so to speak, because it violates the terms of service, and Valve couldn't be any more explicit about that. That, in a nutshell, is why those cases have been shot down in the past or have been deemed not to have enough ground to go on. And let's be clear, Valve have an exceptional legal team. They win most of their lawsuits. In fact, the only one I can think of where they might have lost was a consumer lawsuit in Australia, which have unbelievably robust consumer laws, and that was about refunding games, you know, like, because obviously on a platform where you don't actually own the games, you just essentially lease a you buy a license to be able to access the game that can be taken away from you at any moment in time. Australia said there should be more robust rules around refunding. So what's different about this one, though, is first of all, they're making an argument it's illegal gambling in the first instance, that a loot box is no different to a slot machine. In the second instance, they're saying, legal or not, children are gaining access to these things, and that can be incredibly damaging. And so they're kind of doing a two-pronged attack. And I went through the lawsuit, which I'll bring up, and we'll do a little scan through it, and we'll pick out some of the interesting paragraphs. But first of all, and I'm sorry to do this to you, I do want to talk a little bit about Letitia James, right? Because I think it's important to understanding the context of what she's doing here. You probably have heard the name Letitia James in the news. Letitia James was the attorney general that went after Donald Trump and filed a civil fraud lawsuit against him on behalf of the state of New York. And the premise of that was, well, it's not the premise. Here's the crime, okay? Donald Trump wanted a bank loan, and he wanted to use properties as collateral against that bank loan. He overvalued his properties. The bank looked at that valuation of those properties and said, we agree with that valuation. They gave him a bank loan predicated on that valuation, that inflated valuation, and that happens every day in America, right? Because of the desire to make Trump a felon and find some way to disqualify him from running for office, there was ultimately a lot of scrutiny on every business dealing he's done. And by the way, as the saying goes, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. You're not going to find a billionaire that hasn't done something dodgy somewhere along the lines, whether it's tax evasion, misrepresenting assets. It's just how it goes. But she said the state of New York had essentially been defrauded by what Donald Trump had done. And so he was found guilty. They had a big trial. It was in New York. It was a civil suit. So in civil suits, you don't get change of venue, is my understanding. It has to be like exceptional circumstances. Usually I would only argue that for criminal proceedings. And everyone hates Donald Trump in New York, right? Like, that goes without saying. So a jury will be unbelievably sympathetic to the state's position. He was found guilty. Letitia James issued a fine of over $450 million in penalties for that crime. And that crime was then said, oh, we've done it. We've got him. We've got a civil suit. We've proven he's broken these laws. We convicted him of fraud. Then on appeal, a panel of judges looked at what happened and said, while they don't think there's enough ground to overturn the guilty verdict, the fine was so unbelievably high, it was a violation of Donald Trump's 8th Amendment rights, and therefore the fine was dispensed of. And ultimately, they kind of got what they wanted on that. I mean, there's a little argument that it would have been nice to bankrupt Donald Trump. You weren't going to bankrupt him on this. But to take as many of his assets away, somewhat capriciously, so he couldn't run for office ever again or influence politics ever again in any way, even after he's president. But ultimately, that fine was deemed by judges to be completely exorbitant. She is now in the process of appealing that appeal. That's what's happening right now. So, now, Letitia James is someone that, you know, other than the fervent Democrat, Trump is Hitler 2.0 and we've got to stop him nonsense that has powered their politics for the last 10 years plus, she has done some good things. She's been in many high-profile cases. I mean, first of all, it's worth pointing out, she is the first ever black female attorney general. When she was sworn in 2019. No other black woman had held this office before. So she is a historical figure. I don't know how many of you give a shit about things like that. But, you know, look, that's kind of rad. It shows America is still making progress, even in the supposed dark fascist era. That's why I like those little facts. Like, how could something like this happen if America's the most racist it's ever been? Oh, right, okay. You're just making that up. But anyway, whatever. She's held this office. She's a very well qualified, clearly intelligent person. If you go look at her educational background, it's impeccable. So a lot of people have tried to make the allegations that she's incompetent. She's not. That duck isn't going to fly, or whatever the saying is. She has also been instrumental in a number of cases that, like, if you're of a liberal bent like me, you should definitely support these things. When she was on the city council back before she was the attorney general, she passed the Safe Housing Act, which forced all of the slumlords in New York City to improve their buildings, to actually put their maintenance in. This was particularly interesting in the rent control buildings, because where there's rent control, as in you can't charge above a certain amount for the rent, people don't want to move out because it's a really good deal and cheap. But then the landlords say, well, we're not going to improve the buildings because we can't afford to. And so ultimately she passed that act to basically make landlords do what their landlord responsibility is. She also has previous on child safety cases. She was a big part of the Safe for Kids Act. SAFE stood for Stop Addictive Feeds Exploitation. And so basically it was like an act that was designed around protecting kids from certain things on the internet. She also extended data protection powers to include children because, obviously there were a number of big tech companies that were harvesting kids' data. She was instrumental in getting the $7.4 billion settlement from the Sackler family and Purdue Pharma. They're the people, by the way, that helped induce the opioid crisis by paying veterans to lie to people about their opioids not being addictive like every other opioid, leading to a new generation of addicts and drug criminals that wouldn't have been had they not been exposed to these opioids. So she was instrumental in that. And she also was part of the investigation into Andrew Cuomo in 2021, which was obviously Andrew Cuomo was essentially removed because he sexually harassed a number of women. So Letitia James, while I have always maintained the Trump case is just an overreach and doesn't have any legs, really. It was always the weakest of the many cases brought against him. I think she's done loads of good stuff legally and is an important legal figure in American history. But she also has a propensity to go for the big cases, and that's the other thing. You will notice every single one of those things that I brought up were high profile, media intensive, involving celebrities or big companies. She definitely likes to be in the spotlight, and she's up for re-election, so in 27, I believe. And so obviously she needs one big one before she goes again to the ballots. I don't think she'll lose. I mean, I've seen her doing the rounds with Mamdani, and she's talking about what a great support she is of his and how they're going to work in tandem. The Mamdani machine that got him elected is likely to lend its political influence to her to get her re-elected. One hand washes the other. But, you know, a big case like this, getting her in the spotlight. Also, it does a good job of obfuscating the Trump stuff. A lot of Democrats think she failed because she didn't financially penalize Trump in any way, shape, or form. But this is what she's doing. And so you have to understand, with almost every attorney general's decision to make a state sue a large entity like Valve, there is a political aspect at play. Now, what's interesting about all of this, before we even look at the filing, is, and I can't remember seeing this in any of the other instances, Valve publicly responded, which is so outside of the norm on these things. Usually Valve have killed the whole gambling allegations with silence, just let their legal team shoot it down in court or wait for class action suits to bleed out financially or lose interest. They have a very good legal strategy by and large. And I got an email while I was away, and the email was titled the exact same thing this post on steampowered.com was, and about the New York Attorney General lawsuit against Valve. Initially, I thought, because it went into my junk or my secondary inbox, I thought, holy shit, like, this is a source reaching out to me about this. But it wasn't. It was Valve emailing their entire consumer base about this New York State lawsuit. So I was like, what the fuck? Valve are addressing this? That's crazy. And so here's what they had to say. Dear New York customers of Counter-Strike 2, Dota 2, and Team Fortress 2, you may have seen the New York Attorney General recently filed a lawsuit against Valve claiming mystery boxes like crates, cases, and chests. I also hate the way all games developers have decided to call them mystery boxes to make them sound less predatory than they actually are. Right, and let's also agree that they're doing that because linguistically, mystery sounds a lot better than loot, doesn't it? Yeah, just a mystery what's inside. It's a mystery. A mystery you must pay to solve. But don't think too much about that. Anyway, in some of our games, the mystery boxes violate New York gambling laws. We don't believe that they do. And we're disappointed to see the New York Attorney General make that claim after working to educate them about our virtual items and mystery boxes since they first reached out to us in early 2023. We rarely talk about litigation. You are not fucking wrong. But we felt we should explain the situation to you. We shared with the New York Attorney General that these type of boxes in our games are widely used. Not just in video games, but in the tangible world as well, where generations have grown up opening baseball card packs and blind boxes and bags, and then trading and selling the items they receive. On the physical side, popular products used in this way include baseball cards, Pokemon, Magic the Gathering, and Labubu. In the game space, digital packs similar to our boxes date back to 2004 are in widespread use. Players don't have to open mystery boxes to play Valve games. In fact, most of you don't open any boxes at all and just play the games because the items in the boxes are purely cosmetic. There is no disadvantage to a player not spending money. In the process of cooperating with the New York Attorney General's investigation, we shared with them our efforts over many years to shut down accounts found to be using Valve's game items on gambling sites in violation of the Steam subscriber agreement. And that's true, by the way. For all the criticism Valve get, they did send out a cease and desist. But as we get to in the lawsuit, bizarrely, the cease and desist didn't get everyone. And they left out a very key and important website, which for me is very damning and incriminating towards Valve. We also share with them our efforts to combat fraud and theft of user items and our extraordinary measures to stop gambling sites from taking advantage of Steam accounts and Valve game items. Valve does not cooperate with gambling sites. To date, we've locked over 1 million Steam accounts that were being misused by third parties in connection with gambling, fraud, and theft. And by the way, 1 million, that sounds unbelievably low to me. That sounds unbelievably low, considering I knew one account that was involved in match fixing and all sorts of stuff that had 1,000 dummy Steam accounts, which he used as essentially like bots. So 1 million sounds insanely low to me, but whatever. We've also shipped features like trade reversal and trade cooldown to discourage gambling sites' ability to operate and protect Steam users from fraud. That was only recently, by the way. And we forbid any gambling-related business to participate in or sponsor tournaments for our games. Don't know about that. We have serious concerns with many of the alterations the New York Attorney General... I mean, yeah, that is a capper, right? Whatever. We're going to get to that. We have serious concerns with many of the alterations the New York Attorney General claims are necessary to make to our games. First, the New York Attorney General seems to believe boxes and their contents should not be transferable. They appear to assume digital mystery boxes and items in our games are different from tangible items like baseball card packs, which contain random cards. And to take issue with the fact that users have the ability to transfer the items they receive through Steam trading or user-to-user sales in the community market. We think the transferability of a digital game item is good for consumers. It gives a user the ability to sell or trade an old or unwanted item for something else, in the same way an owner can sell or trade a tangible item like a Pokemon or baseball card. The New York Attorney General proposes to take away users' ability to transfer their digital items from Valve games. Transferability is a right we believe should not be taken away, and we refuse to do that. Now, just on those last two points, First of all, they're saying we forbid any gambling-related business to participate in or sponsor tournaments for our games. They're referring to their tournaments that they run. It's not fair to say your games, because you give a license to tournament organisers that are sponsored by gambling websites. So that's a little bit of linguistic trickery, I guess. Also, as well, you might have teams cover up their gambling logos when they attend a major, right? That's fair. But, or the international. But also, as well, I mean, there's a number of teams that are just like sponsored by, they are BC Game, Paravision, BetBoom. These compete in multiple games, multiple Valve games. You know, you got like Dota 2 as well. It's like, is calling them P-Vision at TI, is that enough? I don't know. But anyway, that's that thing. This here about transferability, this is the problem. Valve are definitely trying to have their cake and eat it a little bit here. And that is that they believe in the right of transferability and won't take it away. It seems to me the Attorney General said to them, look, we won't sue you. Just stop people being able to sell or give away their skins. And that would be like, that would definitely solve the problem. But they say, no, we want you to trade because you can do that with a Pokemon or baseball card. You can't come to my house. And right, if you're Nintendo, you can't come to my house and take away all my Pokemon cards because I cheated in Pokemon. But you can do that in Counter-Strike. You can take away my Steam account for any violations of TOS and shut down my inventory. I lose it all. You don't give it to me to sell. So I don't own these things. It couldn't be clearer that I don't own these things. They aren't like Pokemon cards. They aren't like baseball cards. Again, Major League Baseball can't come to my house and take back my fucking, you know, first edition Barry Bonds rookie card. You can't, because I'd said something you don't like on Twitter. Valve can do these things. So I don't know. Like, again, it's like, these aren't the arguments to make, in my opinion. But whatever. Their legal team, they're better than me. The New York Attorney General also proposed to gather additional information beyond what we normally collect in the course of processing payments about each game user on the off chance someone in New York was anonymizing their location to appear outside of New York, such by using a VPN. This would have involved implementing invasive technologies for every user worldwide. Similarly, the New York Attorney General demanded that Valve collect more personal data about our users to do additional age verification. There you go, there it is. Even though most payment methods used by New York Steam users already have age verification built in. Valve knows our users care about the security of their personal information, and we believe it's in our and their interest to only collect the information necessary to operate the business and comply with law. So, fair enough, I agree with that. I don't think they should be collecting extra data. But here's something I will say. In Britain, and I know some of you will know this and have been affected by this, don't have a lot of British users, bizarrely. Most of you are American, I'm talking to right now. And then the rest are like German and Finnish. And then British, maybe. But they changed the rules on Steam that if a game is deemed adult, right? Now, look. I'm not talking about those stupid weeb, you know, not there, oh, senpai. I'm not talking about those games. I'm talking about Fear and Hunger, right? Fear and Hunger, great game. If you're in Britain, you can't buy it. But it's not on Steam by default. You have to go into the back end, change your settings and put in a credit card, not a debit card, because you can only get credit when you're an adult, but you can have a debit card from when you're a teenager. And you have to go and do this. And I was like wanting to link to the store page the other day because I was recommending it to a friend. Fear and Hunger and Fear and Hunger 2 Termina are just amazing games, great games. And when I have downtime, I generally like to just throw myself into a really grindy game and just sit there for 12 hours and just stew and play a grindy game. And so I was recommending it to a friend. And I typed it into Steam, and it wasn't there. And I own it on my Steam account. And I was like, what? Has it been delisted? I went to itch.io. Similar thing going on over there. There's a number of horror games that got banned, and you have to put adult settings on and add a credit card in the UK. Now, Steam agreed to that. You let my government fucking pass a law that says I've got to prove I'm an adult if I want to play a horror game online. And this didn't get mentioned. I didn't see this in the news. I didn't get an email about it. Not from Steam, not from anyone. But yeah, it's part of the UK Online Safety Act. So, you didn't mind then, did you, Valve? You didn't mind when it came to fucking Fear and Hunger. Also, yes, you can't access Imgur anymore in the UK, but whatever. Which is super sad, because when I'm on Reddit threads and people post the Elise smiling meme, I just now get, instead of Elise smiling, I get something that says, this content is not accessible in your country. Elise's face is not accessible in my country. In fact, they blur him out when he's competing. Then again, who's watching Team Liquid this day and age, but whatever. So anyway, we respect New York's right to determine the laws governing behavior in the state. We will, of course, comply if the New York legislature passes laws governing mystery boxes, something it has not done, despite considering the issue a few times. Such laws would be the result of a public process, presumably with input from the industry and New York gamers. The type of commitments the New York Attorney General demanded from Valve went far beyond what existing New York law requires, and even beyond New York itself. It may have been easier and cheaper for Valve to make a deal with the New York Attorney General, but we believe the type of deal that would satisfy the New York Attorney General would have been bad for users and other game developers, and impacted our ability to innovate in game design. In addition, although this case is about mystery boxes, we felt the need to address comments made by the New York Attorney General about games, real-world violence, and children. Those extraneous comments are a distraction and a mischaracterization we've all heard before. Numerous studies throughout the years have concluded there is no link between media, including movies, TV, books, comics, music, and games, and real-world violence. Indeed, many studies highlight the beneficial impact of games to users. Ultimately, a court will decide whose position, ours or the New York Attorney General's, is correct. In the meantime, we wanted to make sure you were aware of the potential impact to users in New York and elsewhere. So, I think, first of all, the whole violence stuff, that'll get cut out. What happens typically in lawsuits is, you file a suit, a judge looks at it, they'll see like, okay, these are all sound arguments, why is this here? Get rid of that. So it'll likely be all cut out. Because they're not suing Valve for encouraging violence in society. What they're doing is trying to make a political point that frames Valve as bad, because video games, bad, because violence, bad. And it's like, you know, I don't recall video games being involved in that fucking schizophrenic dude who shot up the subway in New York, right? I think there's a lot more problems you need to look at as a state than video games. But video games are always going to be a convenient scapegoat. Everybody loves it, from shit libs to the religious right. It's something they don't understand culturally. They see people running around having a good time, firing a gun, and they think, oh my God, they would do that in real life. When, of course, the whole point of any form of media, generally, by and large, is escapism. You go to do things you would never dream of doing in real life. And it has been proven in multiple studies. There is no causal link. So it's ridiculous to even say. Also, this part where it says they didn't attempt to pass any laws governing mystery boxes. Yes, correct. They didn't. Because this lawsuit frames it as a protective issue. Legislation being passed that bans certain things that people like, well, that becomes the nanny state. One makes you popular and keeps you in the spotlight, makes it look like you're going after a big corporation. The other makes you look restrictive. And so it's definitely preferable to do this than the other. And also, this lawsuit would, and we can all see it, give them access to damages where all of the things the state of New York wants to do under Mamdani, the Zoran, they what better way to fund them than taking down a big corporation, right? That's also at play, unfortunately. So that was the Valve response. And as I said, astounded they even made one. This also, bizarrely, led to, on this practically the same, between Valve's response and the New York State filing a lawsuit, we got another one of these, which I was surprised about. Another class action lawsuit against Valve for loot boxes. And you can see, this is in Seattle by Hagens Berman. Not as familiar with their work. Let's see. Oh, they were behind a Starbucks consumer class action. I do know this law firm. Yeah, that was a funny one. I can't remember the specifics, but basically it was about, because obviously Starbucks say they use beans that are free of any human rights violations or whatever, but then like they didn't fucking apply it to like decaf or something. And apparently the beans are just obtained in the same way. So they lost a lawsuit. Yeah, I remember that one was in the news. Okay, all right. They do a lot of antitrust stuff as well. So, I mean, like, you know, legit law firm, fair enough. But anyway, they basically have now put in a class action lawsuit, smelling that there might be some wafts of change or, like, useful information coming out of the New York Attorney General lawsuit. And you can see it says here, we believe Valve deliberately engineered its gambling platform and profited enormously from it. Consumers played these games for entertainment, unaware Valve had allegedly already stacked the odds against them. We intend to hold Valve accountable and put back money back in the pockets of consumers. That statement alone tells me this is knee-jerk and they don't understand actually what's going on. Because playing the game and buying a loot crate are two separate things. So, whatever. But anyway, yeah, another one did come out at the same time. Now, I've got the filing. This was the original filing. It's since had some amendments, because these things often do. I'm not going to get into it. It's not as long as I expected it to be. It's only 52 pages for a lawsuit with this stature. That's pretty, how should we say, pretty slim, pretty svelte. You can see they're explaining what cases are and everything here. What I want to get to is there were some interesting facts. There were some good arguments in this, and arguments I've never seen made in any other lawsuit before. It says, Valve has long understood that third-party marketplaces are important to the economy of the virtual items it has created. Indeed, we know the lie at the center of all of this is Valve maintain that they have a hermetically sealed marketplace, right? So I win a skin, and I can trade it to you for money, but that money can only be spent on Steam. We know that isn't true. We know people PayPal each other the money. We know people use third-party websites to quite literally cash out. They sell the skin to them, usually at a reduced rate, and they just take the money, and they exit. But the only reason they would have next to no value. If there weren't cash out mechanisms. And what I find incredible is Valve just don't shut down those cashing out mechanisms. You should just be able to just cash out, like, simple as that, right? Like, or rather, not cash out. Like, if I can't sell my skin to a third party site to cash out, or I can't take my Steam balance off my Steam account in any way, shape, or form, I have to spend it on Steam, there is no problem. And these skins would plummet in value overnight. That would essentially kill the market. That's the thing that people are terrified of. But anyway, by providing a means for its users to sell their virtual items for cash, these marketplaces motivate users to purchase keys from Valve in the hope of opening a loot box and winning a high-value item they can cash in. More loot box openings also mean more virtual items will be sold, which drives transactions and Valve commissions on the Steam platform itself. With that understanding, Valve designed the Steam platform to facilitate the purchase and sale of virtual items on third-party marketplaces. For example, Valve provides each Steam user with a Steam trade URL, which enables users to buy and sell virtual items from their Steam inventory on third-party marketplaces. As explained by one website that reviews skins, gambling sites, and marketplaces, the biggest reason for needing a trade URL is to make use of third-party marketplaces. And such sites ask users for this information so that deals can be processed more easily when buying and selling skins. Now, I've never seen this argument made in any of the lawsuits I studied before. Most people just seem to gloss over this point, but I think it's a solid point for the argument that ultimately, yeah, look, third-party sites, it says it explicitly on Steam. You can share this unique URL with other Steam users to allow them to send you a trade offer, even if they aren't on your friends list. And like, okay, they're going, haha, it's just for trade offerings, wink, 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 but it's called third-party site. So you know I can take this link and use it with a skin site. And people do. So I thought that was good. This is another interesting part of it. They said, in responding to inquiries regarding whether its loot boxes violate gambling laws, Valve has consistently maintained that its Steam subscriber agreement prohibits the sale of skins off-platform, and that it actively acts against trading sites that allow users to sell Steam virtual items for real money, which we know they still exist. They're still open. You know, I'm not saying you don't attempt to shut some down, but there is no wide-reaching attempt to shut all of them down. Now, put it this way, to give Riot Games their credit, right, so sit down, strap yourself in, I would argue Riot Games have been more litigious against people who make scripts and cheats than Valve have against skin sites that enable you to sell stuff third party. Like any major cheat coder, Riot has like taken them down with litigation and sued them into oblivion. I've seen Valve send out like blanket cease and desist letters to some sites, but certainly not all of them, and not popular ones. Ones we can see, they're just there. That everybody knows they exist. So anyway, this is what Valve told the Danish Gambling Authority. The Steam trading system has been abused by third-party sites that violate our terms of service. They offer to buy and sell virtual items for real-world money. What happens in these cases is that these sites create fake Steam user accounts. A user who wants to sell their item gifts the virtual item to the bot, meaning the fake Steam user account, and receives real-world money for it outside of Steam, e.g. via PayPal. Likewise, a user who wants to buy an item for real-world money transfers money to the illegal provider by means of PayPal and receives back a gift of the desired item via Steam. As noted above, this behavior is in violation of our terms of service. We have banned thousands of these bot accounts whenever we have been able to identify them, but it is ultimately a game of cat and mouse. And that's just absurd to say that. Like, it's very obvious when these accounts exist. I mean, for example, going back to the one famous account we all knew who was fixing matches and had 1,000 copy accounts, 1,000 dummy Steam accounts he would use as bots. They were all named his name, but with just like the next number up. So, you know, Richard 1, Richard 2, Richard 3, Richard 4, Richard 5. How you can't get to the bottom of that case. You don't need Sherlock Holmes to fucking solve that one, guys. They go on to say, while Valve has sporadically enforced its SSA against skins gambling sites, that's a subscriber Steam agreement. Valve has not acted against sites that permit the sale of Valve's virtual items. Valve's actual view of these marketplace sites was revealed in an unguarded answer given by a senior employee who was asked at a panel discussion in 2017 about Valve's policies towards sites that don't offer gambling but allow users to sell their virtual items for cash. The employee admitted that Valve does not enforce its SSA against such sites, replying that, I guess we don't really fundamentally have an opinion on other uses that people have for their inventories. Indeed, Valve has expressly exempted sites that operate as marketplaces for Steam virtual items from its enforcement efforts against skins gambling sites and repeatedly restored Steam accounts operated by marketplace sites when those accounts were inadvertently suspended by Valve. Valve's internal communications demonstrate that employees were well aware these marketplaces enabled Valve's virtual items to be bought and sold for fiat currency, regularly referring to them as cash-out services, real money out sites, and trading sites. For example, in 2016, Valve prepared to send a series of cease and desist letters to skins gambling sites. Video of this is up my YouTube channel from the time. A Valve employee noted that OP Skins, a skins marketplace that did not offer gambling at the time, was on the list of intended recipients. The employee emailed several Valve colleagues writing, I don't think we need to send a letter to OP Skins and other real money out sites, correct? They aren't gambling. The employee's view that Valve's enforcement efforts were not targeting cash marketplaces was quickly confirmed, and neither OP Skins nor any other marketplace site received a cease and desist letter. Now, this for me is the most damning paragraph in the whole lawsuit. It might not even be good in terms of the lawsuit. It might not help them win the case. It might be an irrelevant detail. But if you know the history of these skins gambling websites, and if you followed them from start to finish, like I did, you know that there was one place to go and cash out your skins. And all of the people that were running these criminal fucking enterprises, these sites that were lying to the consumers, not doing age checks, that were abusing the provably fair system, or like in the Phantom Lord case, just out and out cheating the users for content, which was also in itself of an advertisement of their website that was likely in breach of FCC regulations. The one place you went to cash out in all of this was OP Skins. And the owner of OP Skins at that time knew all of those guys, was in cahoots with all of those guys, and was essentially saying, you promote OP Skins as the place to come, we'll give you favorable rates. If you ever need to fill your inventories to give out to people on your sites, we'll give you priority. OP Skins was the money laundering hub of the entire fucking operation. It was money laundering. That's what these people did. That's why they've got millions in the motherfucking bank, not in their inventories, because of this website. And a Valve employee would have known that. There was no way they wouldn't have known that. I was reporting that at the time. This is in 2016. And a Valve employee has gone, we shouldn't send the cease and desist letter to OP Skins. What this enabled was all of the sites that had operated illegally, essentially, there could be no investigative mechanism about what OP Skins were doing. But on top of that as well, it gave the owner of OP Skins time to essentially make more money, and then he cashed out by selling the site. He made out gangbusters. And it's absolutely insane that a Valve employee thought that website was kosher. So I have said this many times, that the whole skins gambling operation, from the Call of Duty websites, the FaZe websites, the Phantom Lord websites, CSGO fucking Diamonds, CSGO fucking Lounge, the way it spread and the knowledge sharing, it was a criminal conspiracy to defraud the CS player base. And Valve didn't stop it. And OP Skins is how everybody made their money. So it's wild to me that that is true. So that probably isn't relevant to the lawsuit, but that confirms something to me I've always suspected, that ultimately Valve didn't want to necessarily turn over that stone, in the same way in 2015 they didn't want to overturn the match-fixing scandal stuff when I proposed to them, hey, boys, I can give you a list of accounts that are illegally transferring skins to players for fixed games. We can cross-reference that with the matches that happened and the betting patterns, and CSGO Lounge will cooperate with you as well. And they go, nah, we're not interested in that. Well, I'll do it for you. We can't give you access to the information, probably. So, yeah, whatever. All right, well, good talk. Valve similarly exempted another third-party marketplace, CSGOsell.com, from its cease and desist campaign. A Valve employee who had been working on locking accounts used by gambling sites noted in an email that some Steam accounts operated by CSGOsell.com, described by the Valve employee as a CSGO trading site, no gambling, got caught in a wave of account locking. I don't know anything about CSGOsell. You know, that wasn't one of the sites that was on my radar. I don't know how big it was. It certainly wasn't as big as OP Skins. What was funny about the original cease and desist letter, if you ever looked like it, it looked like Valve just went down alphabetically and picked out, like, just a bunch of random skins names, because we had CS Goatsy on there, if you remember that. We all thought that was hilarious. And they just picked a bunch of sites and told them to cease and desist. Meanwhile, a bunch kind of like scooted and got away with it. And CSGOsell.com was probably on the original letter because it was CSGOS. And they fucking said, nah, that's just a trading site. Again, why would you not want to shut down the trading sites if third-party trading is illegal against your TOS? Valve further demonstrated its abidance of cash marketplaces for skins in 2017 when it was contacted by a professional Counter-Strike player who was interested in starting a gambling website. I'd love to know which player this is, by the way, because loads of them did this. So I want to know which one actually was stupid enough to try and go through the proper channels. A lawyer for Valve replied that Valve did not permit such sites and told the player that if he did start a gambling site, don't use CSGO items in your business. The player then asked if Valve had any problems with him creating a cash marketplace for Counter-Strike skins like the site CS Money. The Valve attorney provided a much more measured response, saying that other than general compliance with Steam terms and agreements, Valve did not have very many restrictions for what businesses, players, and teams can be involved in, other than the prohibition against gambling. The Valve attorney went on to provide some rules regarding the promotion of the proposed marketplace site. So this, as the lawsuit progresses, this will probably be entered as a piece of evidence. I've got a Pacer account. I will follow this case religiously. And we're going to find out who this is. That email exchange will be submitted as a piece of evidence once we get the docket updates about this. Once Valve have put in their response and everything else. It might already be up there. I haven't checked it today. But anyway, just so you know, a ton of players had gambling sites or were involved in gambling sites. You know, I'm not talking about what some of the Call of Duty owners did, where they bought CS teams and then they made the players, as part of their contract, gamble on the sites, promote the sites, put the URL to their sites in their Steam name. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there were literal owners of websites. And I'm not going to reel off player names here, but we remember the whole Zeus drama, right? Where Zeus was accused of owning a site, and then he said he only had part ownership, and he walked away from it, and then the site closed down, right? We remember that. I want to know, because this is probably an American, I would say, based on the fact that he even thought to email Valve and talk to their legal team. I want to know who it was, because I'll tell you, so many players were interested in this at the time. They were basically like, oh, shit, like, we can fucking... Oh, because all of the... So many players were gambling as well. Like, so many players were, like, actually, like, gambling heavily with skins and stuff. And we've seen a lot of players subsequently come out and have to admit that. You know, Jacob's debts, for instance, they start back in the skins era. Everybody knew. I mean, like, he had placed bets on games on CSGO Lounge, I think with his main account. I think it came out back then. Apologies if it wasn't your main and it was an alt, but there were lots of people doing that. And then obviously, you know, even recently we've had a bunch of scandals, the Stewie scandal, and obviously, yeah, there was the Jacob at BC Game. But there's been a number of people that have, like, literally, you know, they were just so heavily into skins gambling. So many people, many of them, well, like, well, if I'm going to gamble anyway, wouldn't it be cool if I had my own casino? So that's going to be cool. Then, 98, in July 2023, so we're getting closer here, Valve helped a major marketplace, CS Float, which touts that on its platform you can withdraw any sales proceeds to your bank account, debit card, or crypto. At that time, the platform was branded as CSGO Float. Anticipating Valve's transition from CSGO to CS2, the company planned on rebranding to CS Float. It was unable to access Steam using that domain. However, because Valve had previously flagged the domain as suspicious, a representative from CSGO Float asked Valve to reassess the status of the CSFloat.com domain so the company could complete the rebrand. Valve complied with the request, and CSGO Float successfully rebranded as CS Float. So this is also another crazy thing, because it's like, if I'm running a business that is explicitly against Valve's terms of service, the last person I should be asking for help with it is Valve. I should want to keep the lowest of low profiles. Instead, this company said, hey, you're not approving our name change, but we know CS2's coming out, so we don't want to be CSGO anymore. Can you help us? And they did. That's wild. It makes all of Valve's protestations that they weren't aware of the existence of these companies and what they were doing, it weakens that argument. I mean, these are all essential little tidbits of information, even if they don't necessarily help with the core argument. And the core argument is this gambling? Valve assisted yet another well-known marketplace site called Skinport. We know them. They've sponsored a number of things in the space. In March 2024, after Valve erroneously suspended the site's Steam accounts in an attempt to shut down certain gambling sites. Skinport, which describes itself as one of the best CSGO CS2 marketplaces to buy or sell your CSGO CS2 skins, reported to Valve that over 2,500 of its Steam accounts were accidentally restricted or locked due to a technical issue on Valve's end. A day later, Valve unlocked the accounts in question. So, all key stuff. This is about what they're doing to stop thefts. This is about how loot boxes are potentially gambling in and of their own right. It shows scarcity of items, shows how the value is tracked in the marketplace by itself, shows a particularly valuable knife and what it's worth. It shows the hats because it mentioned hats in TF2. And remember, it's not just CS. It is including Team Fortress 2 and Dota 2 in this as well. This is the stuff which will likely get cut out. Valve's loot boxes pose the same dangers as casino gambling, especially for children. Studies have shown, I mean, this is in line with the European recommendations that came out, which I also covered. This is what got them shut down, essentially, in the Benelux region. The European Union did like a 5-year study on these things, and it changed the laws in multiple countries, most notable the Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg and France, and to a lesser extent, Germany. You can see pretty much what they outlined in the main argument. The connection between loot boxes and problem gambling is unsurprising. Companies like Valve have designed their loot boxes to have many of the features casino games use to entice players to spend money in the hopes of winning something valuable. Some of the psychological mechanisms that have long been used by the makers of casino games and that Valve has also incorporated into its loot boxes include variable ratio reinforcement, which is something that if you've ever lived in Nevada, you'll have heard this phrase. Gameplay experience, such as sensory feedback, entrapment, and we talked about this on the Four Horsemen. They are using entrapment not in the legal term. Entrapment in law is when I ask if, like, I induce you to commit a crime by suggesting it, or I trick you into confessing to a crime via a non-legal mechanism, or I don't disclose I'm a police officer and you do something illegal in front of me. All of these types of entrapment. They mean entrapment in this sense, that I get you trapped into a cycle of gambling by creating some sort of game mechanism that entices you to stay there and gamble more and more and more. That's what they mean. I think that'll have to get reworded probably. And ready and constant availability. This is what VRR is. And having lived in Nevada and been around Vegas for a long time, basically this is how the slots operate. VRR is the process of delivering rewards on a seemingly random schedule in order to encourage a particular behavior. Research has consistently shown variable rewards result in strong engagement. It is intrinsic to many forms of gambling, including slot machines, and has been shown to increase spending on gambling. Loot boxes like slot machines profit from VRR schedules. So, to give you an example of variable ratio reinforcement, if you've ever sat down to a slot machine and you've got the game, the big gaudy game. You put your money in. You have 3 spins. And you're immediately up on the big board. And you're like, holy shit. But you don't win the big prize. You win a little prize. But you're technically up. You could walk away now. And let's say you put $5 in. You could walk away $3 up. You made $3 on your first 3 spins. Wow, that's incredible. Holy shit, you think. This machine is ready to fucking gush. This is a juicy machine. I'm not walking away with $3 profit. I'm going to keep spinning because this motherfucker's ready to blow. And it isn't ready to blow. It just knows that the odds are you will think it is and you will sit down and then suddenly your $8 is gone. And you go, fuck, man. It was so close to blowing. I better put in another 5 and then another 5. And along the way, you'll get little wins and little spins. But ultimately, the machine knows when it has to pay out, and it's when it's made X amount to the value of the fucking payout, you know? That's how it operates. And then it talks a lot about gambling disorders in kids. This was hilarious because you go down and it talks about teenagers and children are a significant segment of Valve's users. Teenage boys are a core audience of first-person shooter games like Counter-Strike. It's also well known that many of the most famous esports players of CS2, Dota 2, and Team Fortress 2 began playing well before they turned 13. Over half of the 22 players on the top five Counter-Strike Esports Academy teams are 18 years old or younger, and the youngest member is just 14 years old, right? And it goes, while the Steam subscriber agreement prohibits children under the age of 13 from creating an account, Valve does not verify the age of Steam users. Instead, users creating an account must simply click a checkbox next to the message that states, I'm 13 years or older and agree to the terms of the Steam subscriber agreement and Valve privacy policy. Now, I've said for years, it's crazy that when you sign up for a Steam account, they don't even check if you're 13, right? There has to be something, right? But that's just how it is. And same with a lot of these big tech social media platforms. 13's the line. Check a box. Here you go. Have unlimited access. The problem you've got is the mechanism via which to check if somebody is 13. Let me get this right. I don't think you can take personal data from a 13-year-old. So how would I prove it? You would need like some form of parental consent, and then you get into a whole thing. So it is tricky, but they need to resolve that issue legally. That's a big one for me. The other problem you've got is, if I check the account and I say I'm 13, why are you giving me access to things I shouldn't have access to? You shouldn't have access to Counter-Strike at 13. I mean, we joke about it, you know, it's rated M for mature. It's an adult game where you run around trying to plant bombs and shoot people that are trying to plant bombs. They're based on real terrorist organizations and real law enforcement agencies. It's got blood. Probably these kids shouldn't be playing that. It's inappropriate. I wouldn't let my child play it. Anyway, moreover, Valve does not appear to enforce its age limitation even when it becomes aware of a violation. For example, in 2017, the CEO of a professional esports league reached out to Valve about an alleged theft of virtual items from the account of his 11-year-old son, who was playing one of Valve's most popular games, quote, a lot. Valve determined that the items were not, in fact, stolen. There is no indication Valve closed the child's account or took any other action due to the child's violation of the Steam subscriber agreement. So that is super interesting. What it sounds like happened is someone who works at ESL, perhaps, or a big esports league, their kid said they had items stolen on the account, went crying to their dad. Their dad said, don't you worry, son, I've got an in with Valve, I can get your items back. They went and said, yo, my 11-year-old kid had his items stolen. Valve then went, okay, we'll look into this. Yep, sorry, they weren't stolen. He gave him away. He got scammed. And then no one has said anything about the fact it's an 11-year-old. Like, Valve have gone, yep. Just tell your 11-year-old son to grow up. Just tell your 11-year-old son to grow the fuck up and not get scammed in future. He's 11. Shouldn't even be on your platform to get scammed. So that's another interesting one. And I think, given that it involves an 11-year-old, even though the email exchange will also likely be included in any evidence, because they're going to have to prove this happened, when you're making an argument that relies on an event in a lawsuit, you have to demonstrate how you have come to the conclusion the event took place. That will usually be through a deposition, or you enter the artifact, like an email or whatever, into evidence. But because it involves an 11-year-old child, the identity will likely be withheld. But it'll still be interesting to read that. These are the charges that they're looking to bring. They're not very exciting. There is, you can see, like a lot of misdemeanors. There is a felony, but it's a Class E felony. It's the promotion of gambling. I think it's this one, yes. There you go, yeah. Promoting gambling in the first degree is a Class E felony. In other words, you're going to get fined. All of these things essentially would mean Valve would have to pay money. And that, to me, seems to be the key argument in all of this, that we believe Valve are doing something wrong, we're going to prove it, and then we're going to fine them, and they're going to have to pay all of the New York State a tremendous amount of money. Now, since Harris isn't here because he was in the Four Horsemen, He did do a tweet thread, which I'll also bring up for you. I mean, just to give the illusion of somebody else's opinions as well as my own. He said it was absolutely, by the way, and like I say, he's definitely worth a follow. One of the things I love about Harris is Harris and I, we differ politically. It's kind of interesting because I see Harris as a flaming lefty, and Harris says, I don't know if I am a flaming lefty. And I think Harris sees me as a bit right wing, center right, and I see myself as a lib. So it's kind of interesting. But one thing I'll say is, I love the fact that he's intelligent enough to basically say, you know, look, we've got differences of opinions, but none of that's important because we're talking about this thing that we're largely aligned on and experts in. And this is definitely something Harris knows a lot about. He knows a lot about the gambling lawsuits historically in America. It's very interesting. Anyway, he says, massive news here for the gaming and esports ecosystem as Letitia James announces she is suing Valve Corporation under Section 225 of the NYS Penal Code. The allegation is that Valve Corporation is knowingly advancing or promoting profiting from unlawful gambling activities. This case may turn on whether Valve is promoting gambling in New York. Gambling is defined as staking something of value upon the outcome of a future event not under his control, upon an agreement that he will receive something of value in the event of an outcome. Specifically, the question is whether the individual gambling is receiving something of value in the event of the outcome. And he points this out, as he did on the show. This isn't like a new discussion that's happened. This isn't a new question. In 2016, this was the hot topic as Washington State sent a formal cease and desist letter to Valve, claiming that Valve facilitated online gambling through skins, which were being used as de facto gambling currency. Its letter to the Washington State Commission stated, Valve has no business relationship with such gambling sites. Valve does not promote or encourage Steam customers to use such gambling sites. Valve does not receive revenue from these sites. Valve also indicated its intent to send cease and desist notices to websites that operated in such a way as to use its OpenID API to make calls in a manner which facilitated unlawful gambling. Ultimately, this faded from the Washington State regulator's purview. Interestingly, Cater versus Churchill Downs 2018, which applied Washington state law 2 years after the initial cease and desist letter, analyzed similar thing of value language as what is present in New York's penal code. And I was familiar with this case at the time. It was 2018. I can give you a summary here on Injusticia, everyone's favorite website. This was the case. How this worked was someone called Cheryl Cater had been gambling on something called Big Fish Casino. It's a virtual casino, and the chips that you use have no monetary value, and there was no mechanism to cash out directly on their website. But you could exchange your chips to other users. And so what was happening was, if you won a lot of chips on Big Fish Casino, you could sell your chips to another player on Big Fish Casino. And people were doing that. They would sit there playing all day, like farming World of Warcraft gold. And they would sit there and they would play all day and basically sell their chips as a little side business, a little sideline. And the court in this instance said that actually what Churchill Downs, the owner of Big Fish Casino, was doing, because of that mechanism, it did constitute gambling, because ultimately it could be argued that those chips did have potential financial value. And when she was gambling with them, she had a reasonable expectation that if she won, she was staking something of value to get something of value in return. So that is a case that might come up again. It is in Washington, not New York. Different laws will apply. But if people are interested in reading up a bit more about this, you can go get a copy of the lawsuit. It's available here on Justicia. You can see the the ruling here, I believe it is. It's got all the judges' argumentation in it, all of the facts of the case. It's very interesting because ultimately, as it pertains to this, it's vaguely relevant. Right, that's all the facts on what's going on. And as always, I will follow this to the bitter end because I think it's fascinating and it's got potential to be a very important case. What will probably end up happening, in my professional opinion, is it'll either fade out because Letitia James might lose an election. I don't think she will, but if she does lose the next election, then the next Attorney General isn't guaranteed to pick up the standard on this case. It's also going to take years. I mean, years and years and years, not years. It's going to take years and years. Like, this is like probably, conservatively, four or five years. I mean, conservatively. Probably longer. Unless there's some mechanism the Attorney General's office can utilize to push Valve into expediency. I don't know enough about the law to know if there is. But maybe there's some argumentation they can make about they're wanting to seek some form of injunctive release for victims, maybe, in which case you could be pressured into expediting the case. I don't know. But ultimately, Valve will be able to stall this out. They're going to have to consult experts. A lot of people have joked, Richard's going to get called up for this one. Richard's going to get subpoenaed and have to go and give a deposition. It's funny, there have been a number of court cases in esports where I was sounded out as an expert witness and then they never got resolved. So I was like, well, never going to have my time in court, I guess. I don't know what would happen in this one. I don't think I could be subpoenaed. You can't. I've got no relation to the case where my testimony could be compelled or would be necessary to be compelled. If I was called as an expert witness on this, I wouldn't have any interest in it, I don't think. As I've already stated, you could probably make an argument that I'm, you know, ideologically fucking compromised. So I'm really not interested. I want to watch this from afar and I'm interested in the outcome, but I'm not interested in influencing it in any way, shape or form. My opinion is this. There is something here. There is a kernel of an argument here. We all know it is gambling on some level. We know that. We know that. The question is it gambling in the same way going into a casino and putting it all on black is gambling, or sitting down at a blackjack table is gambling, or sitting in front of a slot machine is gambling? Or is it gambling like what we're seeing? You know, we're seeing a resurgence in collectible card games right now, right? Magic the Gathering, it feels like that's never been bigger. Pokemon trading feels like that's never been bigger. And what are people doing there? Well, they are going out and they are buying packs. They're buying packs en masse to hopefully hit that big fucking card, that super rare card that makes all of the money you've spent worthwhile. Not even to play the game, but because of what it does as a collector. They all want to hit that rare card, put it in fucking one of those protective cases, show it off to everyone, and then 5 to 10 years later, auction it off at triple the value that it held, even at the moment you opened it. And like, this is, for me, I won't bore you with a lecture about how it's destroying the point of collectible card games and allowing the ultra wealthy to ultimately destroy releases. You know, especially because, you know, when you've got like all these big YouTubers into it and they literally go to a fucking Costco and they just buy everything off the shelf. I mean, you know, like, people have really lost sight of what the CCG community was about, but whatever. Is that any different to buying a loot crate on Steam? And people will say, well, yeah, you don't own what comes out of the loot crate on Steam. So it's worse. But actually, that might help them in this case. Because ultimately, the argument you can always make is an item on Steam is intangible, doesn't exist. You don't actually physically own it. It you know, you're not gambling for something you own. It's just all an ephemeral little fun game, a little mystery box, a little surprise mechanic. Whereas, you know, the Pokemon cards, the collectible card games, the Magic the Gatherings marketing strategy and the way they create false scarcity, the way they allow a secondary black market to operate by not limiting purchases, the way that they create false scarcity. I mean, Wizards of the Coast, just so you know this, Wizards of the Coast create false scarcity by local shops of certain sizes, because some people go out and physically buy their stuff. They're not just Amazon junkies or whatever. They limit how many boxes that store gets. And then the store, based on that scarcity, can set the price. It's not good for consumers. And if you're a big Magic the Gathering fiend, you just buy the boxes. And then you, a genuine kid who just wants, oh, it's the universe's Final Fantasy set. I want it so bad. You can't have it. Sorry, son. You're going to have to buy it on the secondary black market, where something that RRP'd at fucking $70 to $80 is now being sold for $200. But I don't have that much. Well, go fuck yourself. So the reality is the implications here could be even wider reaching. Because, you know, if I'm a state attorney general and I win this case against Valve and I prove loot boxes are gambling and win hundreds of millions, thousands of millions, billions, whatever, for the state, I probably then do go after the physical stuff. Why not? Why not go after Wizards of the Coast? Why not go after Pokemon? Why not? It's the same thing. It's the same thing with very minor differences. So yeah, definitely keep an eye on this case. I think probably what will end up happening long term, 5 years from now, there'll be like some concession where, okay, look, people in New York can't, they'll do what they did in like Luxembourg, they'll do what they did in Belgium, they'll do what they did in Netherlands and France. Like, you look at a case, I mean, they're already doing this stuff. I mean, let's be real. Are loot crates as we know them even going to exist soon when they're doing this? Now, I hate the terminals. So they did these things called the Genesis Terminal, which I'm sure you've already seen. This is Gabe Follower, right? He bought one of these Genesis terminals. You can see he's got a little video of how it works, right? So I'll just bring it up in case you've not seen these. I don't know how lost in the skin sauce you all are right now. Right, so in case you don't know what just happened in that video that Gabe Follower put up, basically they bought a box, a terminal, a fake laptop, but let's just call it a box so we don't muddy the waters. And then what happens is you talk to an arms trader who is going to offer you a series of skins at random, and you can choose to buy one of those skins if it's a skin you want at above market value. I mean, the price is generally more expensive than you would get on a third party site. They've now put it up. It was originally 5 choices and they've now put it up to 10 choices. And that is so it isn't, you can't argue this is gambling. Do you know why you can't argue this is gambling? Because it's not. It's a bespoke shopping experience where I'm giving you an opportunity to participate in buying a skin of your choice. Now, if my inventory isn't what you want, well, I'm sorry that you spent money to get into the shop in the first place, but come see, come saw. That's just how that one works. You still have the opportunity to buy something for your money. And so ultimately, anyway, is it still 5 choices? I heard they put it up to 10. It's still 5. Oh my God, that's terrible. That's cringe. But basically, yeah, that's what they're doing. So ultimately, it's not gambling in the sense, it's not random what gets spat out at the end. But I still have 5 random skins to choose from for money. I think this is more predatory. I'd rather I got a random skin for $2.50 than pay to potentially get the option to buy a $1,000 skin. If I wanted to buy a $1,000 skin, I can go on the marketplace and buy a fucking $1,000 skin. I'm not getting a discount. There's no financial benefit to doing this way. Yeah, exactly. It's a FOMO box. Yeah, exactly. It's a FOMO box. They're like going, well, super cool knife. Might not be one on the market. You can buy it, but you might never get the chance to buy this one again. That'll be $4,000, though. You're like, what the fuck is that? And someone in the chat says, also, if you do get offered the top skin and you don't take it, that skin isn't available after 3 days. So, I mean, these don't seem any better, but they might not be gambling. So you've got to be careful. It's like, you know, you've got a limited time to buy whatever this fucking laptop spits out at you. Now, this will get them around the gambling laws, probably. Valve aren't stupid. They'll have consulted with their legal teams. They'll have looked at the definitions. You'll also notice the New York Attorney General lawsuit doesn't talk about these. These don't exist to them. They haven't got that far. And so it's entirely possible Valve just, like, if at any point they think the lawsuit's bad, they go, boop. All right, we've got rid of loot crates now. What do you have instead? Just these super predatory FOMO boxes. Want to file a lawsuit about that, do you? Well, see you in another 10 years. Good luck in your election, see you, you know. So who fucking knows? But I mean, like, ultimately, it's Valve. We all know, no matter how much charity we want to show Valve, they need the skins economy. The big thing that's come out of Counter-Strike, CSGO, and in CS2, is the skins economy. It's their moneymaker. It's how they keep the fucking very bright lights on over at the Valve offices, and they're never going to allow it to be eroded by something as trivial as a lawsuit arguing children might have gambling problems 20 years from now because they opened a loot crate. So it's as simple as that. They will fight this fucking tooth and nail, and we'll see where it ends up. But that's my coverage for that.